an unusual Sunday. Not just April Fool's Day, but not just a half marathon day, not just a day for dedication. It was a day when we just wanted to share a little bit about what's gone on in the last year, but a little bit about what we believe God's calling us to this year. And I was saying to Jackie that earlier on today that I feel that somehow I want, you know, when the budget statement comes out, it's all pretty boring, isn't it? You know, it's just a whole lot of stuff which they just have to go through, but they have to express it. And I was really praying that it doesn't come over like that, but that together we'll catch something of the heart of God, which will help us go forward together in what God's calling us to. And I wanted to just read a couple of verses from Acts chapter 26, verse 15. They won't be up on the screens. I just thought of this morning. But it said this. This was Jesus, when Paul was converted. In verse 15, Paul asked Jesus, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you." And then he gives Paul a vision. He says, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And as Paul's sharing this testimony, he says to the king who he was talking to, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." And I was thinking about that at the end of Paul's life, or towards the end of his life, he could say, "I wasn't disobedient to that vision which you called me for and gave me to do." And so today we want to just talk about vision, and I'm really hoping and praying that at the end of this year, at the end of as we go forward in what God's calling us to, we will also be able to say, "I haven't been disobedient to that calling on my life." So the vision. We said in our vision statement, building church to make a difference. But when we're sharing our goals here this morning, we're going to be talking about numbers. We're going to be talking about goals. We're going to be talking about specifics. So what is our vision? To have a big church? No. To number 1,000? No. To have 12 disciples? Everybody having 12 disciples? No. To get a building? No. To see revival? No. They're all good. They're all aspects which we believe in God for and want to see as part of our church. But our vision, in one sense, isn't even just to build a strong church, but it is to make a difference for Jesus in Reading and beyond. It is to see Reading impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. To see at least a measure of transformation in this town and in this country. There are too many mega churches in America, and they gather in their tens of thousands every week. And I was reading a report the other day, but it says the communities and the cities are untouched. Crime is at the same level. Divorce is at the same level. Immorality is at the same level. The secularization is all at the same level. But I thought we were meant to be salt and light. I thought we were meant to make a difference. And we are. You see, just big churches won't transform nations. But churches full of the Holy Spirit, churches where disciples are being formed, where leaders are being trained and equipped, will make a difference in the cities and in the nations. And that's our vision, to make a difference for Jesus. It's about his kingdom breaking in. To see many saved, to see marriages restored, to see the poor being fed, to be making a difference for him, his glory being shown in Reading and beyond. Amen? So it's a big vision, but that's what we're going for. And so when we talk about specifics, when we talk about numbers, when we talk about goals, yes, we need to hear them, but have the bigger picture in mind, because that's what God's calling us to, building church to make a difference. Now, I just want to start with two or three tweets. Which I've received in recent weeks and months. This first one is from Brian Houston. He says here, "In a healthy church, God's presence will be sensed, his love will be seen, and zeal for his house will be contagious. I like that. It's about the presence of God in a healthy church. We need to experience and know the presence of God whenever we gather together. He's here in the midst. Not just going through rituals, but actually experiencing his love and his power. And knowing that he's among us in the worship, in the ministry, in our gatherings together, God's in the place. There's something about he dwells people, I know, but sometimes even buildings can be affected by that indwelling sense of the presence of God. And Brian Houston, the leader of Hillsong, says, in a healthy church, God's presence will be sensed. His love will be seen and zeal for his house will be contagious. Enthusiasm, zeal, passion for him and for all that we do. Hallelujah. Number two, without a vision, the people perish, but without courage, dreams die. Rosa Parks made that statement. Do anybody know who Rosa Parks was? Somebody at the back there? She was one of the black women who were being oppressed when America was struggling with the racist issues. She'd just been asked to vacate a seat on the bus by the white bus driver, and she refused. As a black person, she refused. And it sparked off more of that revolution that the black people in that country should have equal rights. And she said, without a vision, the people perish, quoting scripture, but without courage, dreams die. There are times when we have to get out of our comfort zone to see that vision fulfilled. We need boldness. We need faith to believe to conquer, or our dreams just remain dreams out there. We must step out, church, take risks, risk ridicule like all great dreamers do, and believe for the impossible. And that takes courage. And I pray that God will give us courage to believe for the impossible. And last tweet coming up, vision without action is merely a dream. We can talk about vision today, but without action, it just remains up there. Action without vision just passes the time. Where are you going? Don't know. What are you doing? What I've always done. Da, 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 just passes the time of day. But vision and action can change the world. And that's what he's calling us to do. Vision and action. And we can change the world, or at least our part of the world that we're in. Okay, Andy is going to come and just feed back a little bit on last year. Yeah.
Okay. We wanted to put out our markers at the beginning 12 months ago. For those of you who are here, we met here in the morning and then over by our offices in the evening, and we wanted to launch some goals for 2011/2012. And for those of you that will remember, oh, I've got to do the thing, haven't I? Sorry, Neville, goodness, this is new for me, this bit. How do I do it? Okay, thank you. Oh, I've sussed it. I've learned something new. Okay, so this is a quick recap of last year, what we wanted to try to accomplish here through vision and action. There it is. Oh, I've gone too far, haven't I? Sorry. There we go. I've done it. Okay, there's our ball going into the back of the net. Shame West Ham didn't do more of that yesterday, but that's another story. We were going for 20-20-20. We wanted to add 20 men into our cells, 20 women into our cells, and 20 young people into our cells. So to add 60 people, as it says there. And in order to do that, we felt that we needed to open up 5 new cells. For those of us that don't know what a cell is a midweek group that meets a small bunch of people, typically male or female. We've got a couple of mixed groups, and they support and they challenge and they disciple and they share together, but they're also a team so that others can come in and receive the Lord and grow in the Lord and make a difference for the vision as we unpacked it. So cells are really important to our church, and that is the goal line we wanted to meet. And it's gone red now. So what does that mean, Neville? No idea. Does anyone know what a red button means? There we go. Okay, so that's what we were trying to achieve. 20-20-20, 5 new cells. And what did we actually do? We got 36 added in to cells, which I think is really good. So we need to honour the Lord for that. Thank you very much. And we succeeded in going from 5, our desire, to 7 new cells opened over the course of the last 12 months. So that's praise God. That's good, isn't it? We wanted to honour what we described as cell leaders of the year. Okay, now that can make some of us feel a little bit, but really honouring is a biblical principle. So we need to throw off any inhibitions or rubbish or fears or problems that we've got so that we can honour those in authority. We can honour our mother and father. We can honour those that have done really well amongst us. And we like to do that, whether it's degrees or A-levels or whatever it is. And so today we wanted to honour 2 people, cell leaders of the year. From the males, it's Jim Herring. He's not here, but we can give him a clap. And for the ladies, it's Jackie Jackson. And I don't think she's here either. She is there. She's in creche. Okay, she's in creche. Okay, just so you know, Neil was here, her husband. What they're receiving is a £50 meal voucher to take their, obviously Jim's wife out, Jackie's husband out for a nice meal. So you can look forward to that, can't you? So it's really good to honour those people. They did really well this year, and I know we're going to have more of that next year. Okay, next one please, Neville. So we've got 7 new cells that opened, and we wanted to tell you who the new cell leaders are for this year. It's myself and the men, and John and Pete are running one. For women, there's Nikki, Jackie Curtis, Sylvia, and Emma Hollands. And as I said earlier, we've got a mixed group as well of Paul and Lorna. So that is 7 new cell leaders. So let's, those people here, perhaps they can stand up so we can just honour them and bless them. So the new cell leaders here, John, Pete, Nikki, Jackie, Sylvia, Emma, Paul, Lorna. And before we want to get on to where we want to be going over the next 12 months, we also just wanted to say other markers that we put down 12 months ago was a number of people to go through what we call an encounter course. For those of us that aren't aware, an encounter course is a course that we go on to be freed up, to be released, to be the best, super fruitful, successful Christians that we can possibly be. That we have a course before, a weekend away, and then a number of weeks meeting after. And over 30 people in the church have been through that over the last 12 months. And once you've been through that course and are ready and are wanting to feel getting positioned to start a new cell, we have a thing called School of Leaders, which is a training course to equip you to be the best cell leader you can possibly be. And we run that over 3 different levels. Over the first level, we've had 22 people go through that, and Keith and Debbie have been pulling that together. So that's been really good. And through level 2, we've got 12 people that have gone through that. And just before Neville takes over, the other markers that we were putting down was schools work and working within the YMCA. The schools work, we are still trying to review. We have done lots of assemblies, and we're just trying to plant out where we want to go and where we want to prioritise. And the YMCA, we did have a goal of trying to be able to do an alpha course in there. Unfortunately, we haven't reached that goal, but we are moving now towards meeting more regularly with them and being able to have more sort of Christian input with the guys there. Thanks, Neville.
We'll hear more from Andy in a little time. No, I'm not working this thing now, Craig. Okay. Looking forward to this year then. This is a biggie. The vision, the pavilion, facilitating our vision. I'm just going to run through the little points on here. Okay, first of all, the big challenges to complete, which Paul's just already referred to this morning. We thought we'd have completed by now. I think everybody thought we would have done. There's been a delay, so we need to pray that we actually get hold of that building and are able to complete it. The funds are waiting to be exchanged so that the building becomes our property. Then we've got to raise more funds still. Let's not be disillusioned about this. We've got to raise a lot more money yet. But we've got about 200,000, 250,000 for the first phase. The first phase should get us in the building. Not complete, not perfect, not how we want it to be, but at least we'll be moved out from here and we'll probably have closed the offices in Ralph Lane and we will all be working in the building after that phase one. So we need lots of volunteer teams to help us accomplish this. Craig, can you help me? Oh, yeah. And our first major thing was going to be the official opening. We were hoping for July for that. Pastor Caesar was setting time aside to come and do that for us. But with not having completed at this moment in time, that is looking increasingly unlikely. I haven't ruled it out yet, but it's looking increasingly unlikely. It's more likely now that we'll be opening in the autumn, and we want that to be a grand opening. And people across Reading and our friends from other churches and ministries who we're involved with to come and celebrate with us on that. And then, of course, we've got to begin the ministry at the pavilion. And we don't want that just to be a building for Sunday mornings. We don't want it to be a building just for what happens already in church. This is a building to facilitate the vision, to make a difference in Reading. And so there'll be more ministry will be developing. So at this time of preparation, of waiting, I really keep saying it, but I want to encourage us. Let's ask the Lord, are there things that we need to be doing? Are there hearts that need to be changing, mindsets that need to change? Is there training which we need to be receiving so that we can actually use this building for what God wants to use the building for? So we need to keep praying into that. And if you've got things, share with your cell group leaders. Share with the leaders of the teams of 12. You know, we want to know so that ministry flows from that place. It's not all going to happen in the first month, but over the months coming ahead, we will see that develop. And I put there Christmas. I think that's going to be our first major event at the pavilion. First opportunity to really have a splash in the town. So we need to be thinking about that shortly after the summer holidays and really pulling that together. By then, hopefully, we'll be well and truly on the way. Now, the next one, aspect of vision, is a new one for us. Adding Reading students to LifeSpring. I thought I'd be bold and just say what it's all about, really. That's the vision, to add students that come to Reading to this church. Now, the building, the pavilion, I'm sure, will help us in that. But this is a whole new area for us. 30 years ago, we had a little bunch of students, and some of them are still with us today. But I've not been disappointed, because it's all part of growth and development. But, you know, our 17, 18-year-olds, they come up, they've been involved in the church, involved in ministry, and then they go off to university, and for the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've seen that happen, and most have just been a blessing wherever they've ended up and not come back to us. Well, what a blessing to be able to send them all away. But each time we get to that sort of age range, they disappear from our church. And so I'm thinking, well, we're sowing out there, why don't we look to reap as well? And so students, thousands of students, come into Reading every year to Reading University. And I think we've got an opportunity to make a connection here. So the first thing we need is to find an individual or a couple with a real vision and heart to head up student ministry. Matt and Viv have done brilliantly in looking after our students as they've gone. Whether it's them, I don't know, for the future, for this development or not, we need an individual or a couple to help now to link and head up this student ministry. To form a team to reach out and befriend students from the university. A team to help LifeSpring become student-friendly. If we need to put buses on, we'll put buses on. If we need minibuses, we'll drive minibuses. But it's more than just getting people in. It's looking after them and caring for them. And if they find a church which they like, if they find a church which blesses them, if they find a church which encourages them and gives them purpose in life, do you know what? They're less likely to rush back to where they've come from, as we've already found. Some of those will want to stay and be part of this church. And so I feel that's an opportunity for us, particularly with the pavilion in mind, that we're able to make that connection. Now, I did hear one or two people say to me, but aren't they already catered for by other churches? Well, of course, most of them will be. Yes, that is true. But we've got something to bring into the mix too. Why leave it for 2 or 3 churches when a 4th or 5th church could also be part of that ministry and bring in a different dynamic and a different emphasis and help students get connected in Reading? So that's a big thing which we're going for this year. If you feel you can help with us, please let us know. We need to really get that going as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I'll try.
Okay, do you want to elaborate a bit more on our vision for children and youth's work over the next 12 months?
And the first thing, as you can see there, is we've got a vision that we want to be involved doing holiday clubs. When I first came to the church about 20 years ago, I was the youth and children's worker. We did holiday clubs that run every night, every morning of the week from 10 till 12, and then had a massive thing at the end where the parents could come along, see what they got involved in. And it was a really good way of serving the community, but also bridging out into the community and impacting the community. And so for a while, we've been wanting to and be involved in this part of ministry. And Jackie and her team have been looking at the thing Energy Live, which has been meeting on one morning and a week in a holiday season, which has been really good. But we want to really grow that this year to try to be able to do three holiday clubs in that period of time. So for that, we obviously will need a team. Jackie, Dan and Catherine will be happy to be part of it, but we need people who will be willing to come along, do arts, do craft, work with primary school age children. So if you'd like to be part of that team, please do come and see me. The next one, please. As I said earlier, Energy is our children's ministry, which runs on the first Sunday of the month, where all our primary school children are at the moment. Energy stands for New Reading Generation. We're breeding a new generation of young children who are going to make a difference for Jesus at their young age. And Dan and Catherine Hollands lead a team which are fantastic. And as I say, they meet once a month at the moment. But we've got a dream that we want to up that from once a month to meeting every week once we move into the pavilion, probably realistically starting beginning of 2013, and probably going to be on Sunday afternoons for an hour, high impact, visual, lively, loud, lots of people coming along. If you want to be part of that, do see me or them, that'll be really good. Currently, we've got about 25 primary school kids, and obviously we want to see that double in size in that period when we get that going. And just like our previous model, when we used to work with children on a weekly basis, we aim to meet those kids and families every single week just to try and be Jesus going to them, seeing if we can serve them in any way. James and Sarah do a fantastic job within our youth project. At the moment, we have a thing called Refresh, which meets twice a month. It's a youth worship event at Ralph Lane. We've run it for a number of years, and we want to continue that format for years 10 and a plus. And we're going to start doing something for the years 7 to 9 that we used to do down at the Globe many years ago. And Sarah Lawrence is going to take responsibility for that. It's called Live. It's going to be a weekly event for years 7 to 9, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, where they gather together, have fun together, roadshow-style frontage sort of time together, break into small groups or cells, as I described earlier, and then have a time of chilling out and being friends together. And we want to have a goal in mind, so we're aiming at something. We're not just aimlessly kicking the football in any direction or throwing the dart over there. We want to have something we're specifically aiming for, and we're believing by the end of this next period, 2013, this time next year, that we will have 50 in Refresh and 50 in Live with Sarah.
Okay, so far? Yeah. Good. We have a vision to disciple nations, part of Jesus' Great Commission. And our nations tend to be all in Africa. Don't tend to, they are all are in Africa at the moment. And we've had a challenge this year because Uganda, we've had a good relationship with for 15 years and regular teams there and them coming back over here. And Fred's church, they picked up with the G12 Vision 2. But Liberia and Ethiopia want to run with this vision of G12. And Andy and I visited Liberia last year. John and I visited Ethiopia last year. And we were thinking, Lord, our resources aren't big enough to resource what's needed over in these countries. I believe Liberia is a small nation. I believe the pastor there has got over 1,000 pastors in his network, all wanting to run with G12 Vision. I think it could transform that nation. We went with Tamrat to Ethiopia. Such a hunger from, we saw hundreds, but Tamrat tells me thousands of pastors in that country want to run with this vision. We tried to get a big church in Africa to help them and to run with it and to develop it and support it, but it's not happening. And I just felt from the Lord over the last few weeks, Lord, you've given us these links. Maybe you are calling us to believe for more, that we also can serve in these countries too. So we've made a commitment to Liberia, and we're making a commitment to Tamrat to at least go once a year if we can. It'll need more than that, to be honest, but to begin to invest in these countries and see them being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a brilliant opportunity the Lord has given us. And they're asking us to come. It's not like us trying to find somewhere to go. They were very disappointed when we said, we don't think it's going to be us. We'll get somebody else better, we thought. But I think the Lord thinks we're going to be the best. So we're going to be working on that. And then there's two other nations which we continue to be involved with. They're not involved in G12, but these are mercy missions, if you like. There's Tracy there in Mozambique caring for the children, street children, and others coming into their baby homes, homeless, orphans. And the work in Swaziland with Ruth and Liz over there as well, we will continue to support as best as we are able. You will notice one flag isn't there, and that's Sudan. We've had to make a difficult decision and say to Manny, we're going to continue to support you to the end of this year, but we don't feel we can continue that level of support afterwards. I've not heard back from Manny yet. I'm trying to get hold of him. I know Greyfriars support him much, much more than we do anyhow, and there are other contacts. But with these other challenges for us, we felt we needed to be a little bit more focused. As much as we love Manny and all he's doing in Sudan, we just felt that we needed to make that decision in order that we can refocus some of our resources into these other nations rather than being stretched too thinly and not giving the best that we can give. So please pray for us on these challenges which we face, but also what amazing opportunities the Lord is trusting us with. 40-40, the new vision for this year. Our goal, not three groups this time, but to add 40 men and 40 women to ourselves over the next 12 months. That is an enormous challenge. But when it gets broken down, it's threes, fours, and fives to individual cells. And we're asking cell leaders and cell leadership teams to take that on themselves. We don't want this to be imposed. We want it to be their vision and to work towards that. I'll say a little bit more about cells because they are at the heart of what we're doing. But that's the vision, 40-40, another 80 people, then we'll have 270 people in cells in 12 months' time if we fulfill that vision. And in order to do that, we need to open at least six more cells, which I'll tell you about in a moment or two. We need to open six more cells, we're looking forward to seeing that grow and develop. At least six more. I think we could be talking about eight or nine more, but if we do six, that would be absolutely brilliant. And we'll have about 30 cells in the church and growing. We have a vision for numbers too. I don't apologize for numbers. There's even a book called Numbers. We gather about 200. We don't quite know exactly how many do gather here on Sundays. We're going to try to find out by adding up the people coming. It's about 200. Somebody said to me the other day, when we moved to the pavilion there, he said, I think just by moving there, we could see another 50 people turn up. I think it could be true. Just a building, a new building, new church moving in, you know, that could in itself just add 50 people. But we'd like to see, with those which we're adding into our cells, another 100 so that there could be at least 300 gathering on Sundays in a year's time. And to do that, I've mentioned the pavilion, but we're also looking to two services from the autumn, depending where we get to with the pavilion and the openings. But two services then, one morning, one evening, different styles, attracting different people. Every month we've committed to a monthly winning Sunday, Easter coming up this month, so we need to be inviting people to them. We want to be touching the students, reaching out to the university. That will help as well. And there is one other. Ministry at the pavilion as it develops, with toddlers at the pavilion, with the cafe being opened at the pavilion, with parenting classes and other things which will be happening at the pavilion in our church premises. We're hoping that in itself will enable us to invite and draw people in to church and to the cells. And of course, it all comes down to, at the end of the day, us inviting people, us speaking to people. That's the main reason, not the only reason. Some people have come because of the internet. Some people have come because of the banner outside. But most people come because they're invited to come. So we're going to be committing to that vision of seeing us gathering 300 in the two Sunday services, and some of those areas there will help us in that, we do believe. Now, there's a price to pay. How long have I been going for? Somebody stopped my little stopwatch here, and I thought I've got 20 minutes left. I'll turn it off. There is a price to pay. I haven't got all the figures. Last year, we had a total income of $315,000. But it must be plus building fund stuff, because I know there's a lot more out there. But the main important figure for me is we had a goal to receive $180,000 in tithe income, and we received $180,000 in tithes. I want to say thank you very much. That is a blessing. That is a commitment. And that $180,000, a lot of that is gift aided too, so there's another 20% plus which can be added to that. Our total income came to $315,000, and our total expenditure was $305,000, so we've got $10,000 towards the pavilion. Oh. Our goal for this year is to increase tithe income to $190,000. It's about 6% more. I know that, there's all sorts of reasons why we might think that's not possible. But we're wanting to believe God for $190,000 in tithe income. That's an addition of £10,000 to where we were last year. What? In recession, Neville? Yep. What? With people losing? Yep. People coming in, people getting promotions, people having pay rises. You know, we're believing that God, we're hoping, praying that we'll get that figure of $190,000. But I just want to also remind ourselves, to run the pavilion, we were needing to raise another £35,000 a year. That's just to run it. That's not mortgages or anything, that's separate. That's to run the place. We've had about £25,000 extra pledged, which is absolutely amazing. I'll say thank you to that. That is absolutely amazing, over and above tithes. We're looking for another £10,000. Now, that may not be out of our pockets. That may be through other sources of income, fundraising and other things. But we're needing another regular, ongoing amount of £10,000. So can you pray about that too? Because there's a price to pay to fulfill a vision, but it's worth fulfilling. Have we got time? How long have I been now? I think I have got time. I want to share one more slide, really. Sales are at the heart of our vision. The vision is to make a difference. The vision is to change nations. The vision is to see people saved. The vision is to impact Reading. But it happens through cells. And the cells is the place where, in a cell church, everybody is part of a cell. Every member is a cell, is in a cell. The cell evangelizes, the cell strategizes, the cell trains, the cell prays, the cell cares. Or should be. This is the vision, that those small groups are having an impact and helping people live their life in a way which is honoring and pleasing to God. We're wanting all the resources of the church in that sense to support cells. So as we gather on Sunday, we come as cells here, we come as people here, but it's to help build people up, that they might be equipped to be better Christians. But the training and the application happens in our cells. And I want to just mention three areas here which are important that we develop more in ourselves. I think we've concentrated too much on the first. Could you hear me say that? No, it's impossible. How can we be concentrating too much on evangelism? Well, these are all top priorities. But healthy cells grow. So we should be expecting growth. And I would say, Andy, two-thirds of our cells have grown this year. Two-thirds have seen growth, which is really, really good and a real blessing. So healthy cells grow. We have to have cells which is we can invite people to so that they can find Jesus, they can find friendship, and they can be encouraged in their walk with God, which is that next area there, edification. The Sunday message gets discussed and applied in cells, and it's a place where we learn to be real and honest. And if I could make this work, the third one would be equipping. Here we are. Within the cell. Now, we have School of Leaders, we have Encounters, we have those other courses, and they are all really important. But something just, I was impressed by Lawrence Kong the other day. He said, you know, School of Leaders, for example, that'll teach you how to do stuff. Teach you how to understand stuff. Workshops can model how you work stuff out. So we've had fire starters this year where people have learned to go out into the town and do stuff. But he says the cell is the place where the different values can be imbibed, because all of those things that you learn on School of Leaders or Encounters or Firestarters or anywhere else are lost often by the time you finish the course. But if you join a cell where the culture has been changed, where the values now have embraced those values which they've been taught about, then we begin to train each other, help each other, encourage each other to live our lives in a different way. So within the cell, we can encourage and equip people, those that don't yet know the Lord and those which do know the Lord, to find him. Amen? So cells are at the heart of what we're talking about, because they're not the obvious thing. You know, people turning up on Sundays, parenting courses, students, but at the heart of it, this is the engine room. This is where there's friendship. This is where there's discipleship, accountability, encouragement, reality, honesty, where stuff gets applied, where stuff gets prayed through and worked through, where ministry is taking place and people are built up. Happens much, much more in the small groups than on the Sundays. And I've gone beyond where I wanted to go. How can I get that back? Somebody says to me, I think we need to be a bit more professional in the church. I'm sort of agreeing with you. How can I get that back? Done that one. Okay. I wanted to close with a scripture. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get it to come up here. Maybe somebody on there, could you put the last one on there, could you please? Rod, is that possible? I just want to close with this scripture. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Rob's going to come up in a moment or two. We're going to have one last song. Andy will just close the meeting for us. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Rob, you on the way up? Let's get guys, get up there, please. No. Can you come back again, please? Oh, all right. According to his power that is at work within us. Paul is saying here, through the power of the Holy Spirit in the people of God, he can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. 80 people in cells? Cinch. 300 coming on Sundays? Cinch. 6, 7, 8 new cells? Cinch. When his power is at work through us. He says he is able to do it through us beyond what we can even imagine or ask. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. You know, I have a high view of the local church, and I believe LifeSpring, together with all the other churches in this town, are called to make a splash for Jesus in Reading, that his glory might be seen through the people of God, not just when they gather together, but in the marketplace, in the workplace, in the schools, in the communities, touching the universities, that the people of God are bringing glory to his name. It's all about Jesus. That's why I wanted to share this vision afresh with you, some of our goals and aims for next year. It's all about Jesus, that he might be glorified through LifeSpring and through the people of God in Reading. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this last song together.